Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Good evening and Mazel Tov, everyone. And welcome to all of our Chasheva guests from out of town who are together with us, are partnering with us to bring Simchas Chasam Akala. And of course, a special welcome to Rav Hafer, who is here as a Masada Kedushin, as a Rav of the Chasam's family, and always graces our community with his presence. It's really a special gift to have him here in the community. So I hope you will all forgive me if for a moment I mentioned something that I kind of picked up a little bit, that it's in the space out there anyway, so I want to just deal with it. So someone sent me an email in another city. They announced that there's going to be a Maariv 10 minutes after halftime of the Super Bowl begins. Baruch Hashem, we're not dealing with that kind of a mindset. Baruch Hashem, Shesanta Chalkeinu Miyoshva Beis HaMedrash V'Losanta Chalkeinu Miyoshva Kronos, that Maariv is timed or in any way synchronized that way. I don't know what we've lost something. But the reason I mention that is because we understand, the reason we're here is because we are defined by Torah and Mitzvot. That's our life. Gehem Chayenu Aruch Yameinu. And when we are in a time of crisis, and here in the community we are because one of ours has been stricken with a very, very life-threatening, sudden heart attack, and we don't know what's going to be, and our hearts and our minds are there even as we dance the simcha here. So we're gathering to learn Zchus Leah Miriam Bas Shendel Golda, and Mr. Shem Shev Rafur Shema. And we should realize as we listen to the Torah of Rabbi Hafer that we are engrossing ourselves in that which defines our lives. And this is the source of all simcha, is the fact that we have a Torah and that we live that way, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides our lives. Mirtz Hashem, in the schus of all of the Mesiras Nefesh that the Steele family has shown for Torah and Mitzvot, and for their Mesiras Nefesh for Shabbos Kodesh itself, that should also be Mesayeya, that you should have a Refuah Shleima Bekarov. Rabbi Hafer, thank you very much for making yourself available.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say a few words of Torah. And it's very special. This is a very unique community, and it's a very special community. There's an enormous degree of a sense of a community, and it's one people. And especially when people as a community gather together in this chus of a Chilanis, a great Chilanis, Cindy Steele, with a Rabbi Shlomo, should help that she should have her for a Shleim in Gichin. I just would like to especially thank Rabbi Feldman. I don't see him right now in some place, but I think in a very, very great way you're ma'achid this community, and it's really a Kiddush Hashem, and the Rabbi Nishlam should give you strength and to continue, and you have a very, very heavy load, but you have accomplished very, very beautiful things, and Yichelech L'Araisa. I would like to talk about a minhag that is not even brought in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a minhag that is prevalent in Klal Yisrael, but in different ways. When we take out a Sefer Torah, or we bring back a Sefer Torah to the Aron Kodesh, the custom amongst everybody that I have seen, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, is there's a certain sign of respect that you show to the Torah. So, if you notice, different people do different things. Some people put their hand on the mantle of the Sefer Torah and kiss it, and kiss their hand. amongst Svardim, it's very customary to just, you know, to go like this, kiss your hands with your kiss your lips with your fingers, and you know, take your hands and towards the Sefer Torah, and other people kiss the Sefer Torah or kiss the mantle of the Sefer Torah. You're not supposed to touch the Sefer Torah itself, the cloth of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara says that that's a dover chomor. You don't do that. But there are many people that kiss the Sefer Torah. From when I was a child, there was something that troubled me. It troubled me very much until I got a little older and maybe I understood a little more. How could somebody not want to kiss the Sefer Torah? Why should people sort of show this distance, you know, from the Sefer Torah and put their hands on the Sefer Torah? Was hasil, you know, what does it hurt you to kiss the Sefer Torah? It was something that troubled me until I realized that I was a young, immature boy. And I would like to, let me just talk about that a little. In the Torah it says, we learned this a few weeks ago, that the Rebbeinu Shloilom tells Aaron, Lech likras Moshe Hamidboro. Go towards Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu was coming with his family now from Midian towards Mitzrayim, after the Rebbeinu Shloilom had to cajole and convince Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Mitzrayim to be the one who is going to be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, the one who is going to rescue and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim as a messenger of the Rebbeinu Shloilom. He didn't want to. He didn't want to, Rashi explains, he didn't want to because here he's a person who all of these years has been out of the Golos. He wasn't somebody that witnessed and felt, you know, the difficulty and the burden and the great pain of his brethren, at least didn't show it to them. He knew it from a distance, but didn't show it to them because he wasn't there. Aaron was the leader of Klal Yisrael. After Amram was Nifter, Aaron was the leader of Klal Yisrael. How could I do that to my older brother? That was the issue where the Rebbeinu Shloilom had to convince Moshe Rabbeinu to go. Because Aaron will greet you and will be happy with you. So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al Aaron, Lech likras Moshe Hamidbar. He tells Aaron, who's in Mitzrayim, go to Moshe in the Midbar and meet him there. And he met him there. Vayugisheyu Bahar HaLokim. He met him at Har Sinai. Midway. Vayishak Loi. Vayishak Loi. And he kissed him. The subject of this pasuk is Aaron. The Rebbeinu Shloilom tells Aaron, go towards your brother and to the Midbar and greet him there. Aaron goes, he greets him, Vayishak Loi, and he kisses him. So Ramban, right there, says, doesn't say anything about Moshe kissing his brother. It only says that Aaron kissed Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say that Moshe Rabbeinu kissed Aaron. So the Ramban says, Vayishak Loi, Aaron Noshak Lo Moshe. Ki Moshe ho'onov no'ag kovet v'ochiv ha'godol. Olochein loy omar v'yishoku ish le'ochiv. Moshe Rabbeinu felt, because Moshe Rabbeinu, with his extreme modesty, felt, who am I to kiss him? Who am I to do something like that? And let me just explain this. Try to picture yourself. The king or the president comes to Atlanta and you happen to love the king. He's somebody who does so much for his people and you're full of love for him, and the king comes, what would you say? You would like to run over and kiss the king. Appropriate or inappropriate? I don't know, some people I see. Is it appropriate or inappropriate?
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate? Why is it inappropriate? It's inappropriate because to the king there's a certain awe and a fear and a reverence that you have. And you just don't go and kiss somebody. just because you happen to love that person. That's a feeling that you have. But when you have an extreme reverence for somebody, and there's a fear, there's a pachad and a yida, there's a fear for something because it represents something and he represents something, you just don't go and do something like that. It's highly inappropriate. Moshe Rabbeinu's, because of his extreme modesty, Moshe Rabbeinu's feeling towards his brother, Ochiv HaGadol, was, you know who my brother is? I'm just going to go and kiss him. Moshe Aaron wanted to show, his brother that not only does he not have any hard feelings about Moshe Rabbeinu now taking this mantle of leadership that he's undertaking, but he loves him and he feels for him, and therefore Moshe Aaron kissed Moshe. But Moshe, because of his great and extreme modesty, couldn't do something like that to his brother. Maybe later he did it, but they're not going to kiss each other at the same time. That's what it says in the Ramban. The Sipurno says, he says something else, and he quotes a pasuk in Shmuel. Shmuel was the leader of Klal Yisrael. And Shmuel, after the people asked for a king, the Rabbanu Shel Olam tells him to choose Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was the one who Shmuel anointed him. You have to understand that Shmuel was, as we said the other night, Friday night, Shmuel was equal almost to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Aaron. Moshe Baran B'chanov and Shmuel B'kurdish Shmuel, we mentioned them together. Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel. And Rabbeinu Shlom now tells Shmuel, anoint this young man as king. So the pasuk starts, the capital starts, Vayikach Shmuel, as Pach HaShemen, and Shmuel takes that krug of oil, Vayitzek al Roshay, the cruse of oil, Vayitzek al Roshay, and he pours it on the head of Shaul, which is the way you anoint the king, not with a Vayishokehu, and he kisses him. Vayomer, and he says to him, Haloiki Mishokacha Hashem al Nachlot al Nogim, the Rabbanu Shalom has chosen you to be its leader. Shmuel kissed Shaul. That kiss was a different concept. It's a different kind of a concept, that kiss. And Sipurno says, it's the way you act with a holy object. A holy object. Let me say something, I just remind myself now as I'm talking. I don't know if you've ever seen Svardim, how they act with their chacham. You come and you say good Shabbos to a chacham, and you kiss his hand. Many do that with their mothers and fathers Friday night, but that's the custom with the chacham, that you kiss his hand. I was a bocher studying in Mir Yeshiva, and Friday night, Chacham Yosef, Rav Avadya Yosef, he used to say a shir in Parat Yosef, in Yeshiva Parat Yosef, on the Parshas HaShavuah. And they had hundreds of people there. It was full, the yeshiva. And after the shir, which was a fascinating shir, he would say Torah from all different kinds of people, from Rabbi Eliyahu Milvilner, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchov. And it was just so interesting to listen to him. So at the end, everybody goes by, and they one by one, and they say good Shabbos to him, Shabbat Shalom. So I was there, and I wanted to do the same. So as I'm coming, and everybody comes and kisses his hand, and I'm ready to do that, and he sees me, and he says, "Ani yodea she'etzlechem lo nahagim kacha." He sees this Ashkenazi boy somewhere or other, and he says, "I know that by you don't do that." So I took his hand fast, and I kissed him, and I said, "Ba'atra demar, this is your place, not my place." So, what's the concept? The concept is that you feel that this is a holy object, and you want to be able to show a reverence to that, and you kiss him, and you kiss him. There are two approaches here. That's the point that I would like to make. There are two approaches. Here's the Sefer Torah. And on the one hand, The Sefer Torah is something that we love. We hold dear. It's our life. It's what we aspire for. To know the Rabbeinu Shlomo's word, to understand it. And this is the way a person can be double and cleave and attach himself to the Rabbeinu Shlomo by learning his Torah. And we want to show our love. And that's the purpose of a kiss. It's a holy object. And this is what is important to us more than anything. On the other hand, there's a concept of reverence. There's reverence here. And who are you just to go and to kiss? Who do you think this is, What do you think it is? This is your buddy? You don't do that. That's the two concepts. The point that I'm just trying to make is, it's a minig, which, by the way, I just want to say that this is something, I don't know why people don't do it, but according to the din, this is a brayso in Ovid the Reb Noson, and it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that when you pick up the Sefer Torah to show the people, hagba, which is something that is a very important concept, you're supposed to show reverence by bowing down to it, bending down and showing a humbleness towards what it is that is there. That's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. I always do it, but most people do not do it. But it's a clear halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's a brayso, and always the Reb Noson, and some the Ramban brings it in Chumash, that a person is supposed to do that. They're minhagim. They're not things that are even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, but the concepts behind them are just so wonderful and so beautiful. And these are the different approaches that you have in Klal Yisrael, why one person does it this way and one person does it that way. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's a fascinating concept. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to learn Torah with a goy. Torah tziva lonu Moshe Marosha kilos Yaakov. Lonu Marosha v'loy lohem Marosha. The Torah was given to us as an inheritance. It wasn't given to them. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. It was not given to others. So the Gemara asks the question, why isn't it mentioned in the Sheva, in the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach? So we know there to be seven mitzvahs that were given. Here, there seems to be an eight, that he can't learn the Torah. A guy is not permitted to learn the Torah. Lonu Marosha v'loy lohem Marosha. So listen to the Gemara's answer. Fascinating answer. The Gemara says they're both they're mentioned. They are. If you read the pasuk, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, the Rabbi Shalom commanded Moshe. Moshe commanded us with the Torah. Moroshio kihilas Yaakov. It's an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov, not to anybody else. If it is, and somebody else goes and takes it to a degree, he's a thief. It's gzeila. It's gzeila, the Gemara says. It's stealing. You're taking something that belongs to one, and you're taking it and bringing it to yourself. Now, it's a little different than the normal gzeila, than the normal thievery, because when you take something from somebody else, let's say Reuben takes it from Shimon, Reuben takes an object from Shimon, Reuben has it, Shimon no longer has it. So there's something wrong on both parts. You took something that doesn't belong to you, and now the other person has lost an object. By Torah, it's not that way. Maybe you can take it as something that doesn't belong to you, but you haven't taken it away from somebody else. But the Gemara says, therefore, this is gzeila, this is thievery, and that's one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. There's another concept, the Gemara says. Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morosho kihilas Yaakov. It's an inheritance to kihilas Yaakov. So the Gemara says, Al tikri Morosho elo Moroso. Don't read Morosho, it's an inheritance, but Morosho, she's wedded to the congregation of Yaakov. That means that Klal Yisrael and the Torah are wedded to each other. They're bound legally to each other. And therefore, if somebody goes and takes Reuven's wife, he's married to her, it's like you're taking a Naira Amorosa, you're taking a woman who's not your wife. So, Arayus is also part of that, the Gemara says. It's also one of the Zion Mrs. B'nai Noach. Let me just say something, that whenever the Gemara says, Al Tikri, do not read, could you do me a favor? I think we started late. Tell me when I'm supposed to stop. And really, don't have Rachmanis on me, okay? Tell me when I'm supposed to stop. When the Gemara says, Al Tikri, do not read, don't read it one way, but read it another way, there's a reason for that. Why should the Gemara make this kind of a drosha? Al Tikri Marosha Ela Ma'orosa. Don't read Marosha, an inheritance, but read Ma'orosa. She's wedded to you. And I just want to explain. If Yaakov dies and has a son, Reuven, Yaakov is the one that gives it as an inheritance, and Reuven inherits from his father. Correct? Let me explain this. When you inherit something, somebody gave it to you. The one who you received it from, a son inherits from his father. How would you explain? Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. Moshe commanded us with the Torah. Morosho Kihilas Yaakov. It's an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. It really should have written, it should have been written, Yerushahi Lekilas Yaakov. It's not some, Morosha means you give it. The father gives it to the son. He's Morish, the Torah to the son. That's not the way it is. You inherit the Torah. And what that's what was troubling Chazal, and they said a very fascinating concept. The Torah is ours. Only it's ours. It can't be somebody else's. But it's only for us to keep, for us to have, if we do what we're supposed to do. If you have a bride, you can't just have a kinyan, but eventually what you have to do is live together. There has to be a relationship. And that is what arusa is. An arusa is when you give, a chassid gives the kala a ring, they are now legally married to each other, which means that the kala cannot, if she's a married woman, she therefore can't receive a marriage proposal from somebody else. But in the Gemara's time, they were not living together, they had up to a year's time to, you know, get a house and get a parnosa and get whatever it was to, you know, to get your trousseau, the kala's trousseau, all of that, she had up until a year's time. After that, she could say, listen, one way or another, but you can't continue. And then they had the party and the mishnah, that's when they started living together as husband and wife, which is the concept of the chuppah. The Torah is ours, as a kinyan. It can't be somebody else's. It can't go to somebody else's. But it's only good enough for you to give to your child. But for it to be yours, it's only if you work and you struggle and you toil and you make it yours. There's an intimacy with the Torah. The intimacy with the Torah is when you work with it. When you appreciate it, you appreciate that this is the Devar Hashem. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God is something that I treasure, because the Chochmah of the Rabbeinu Shlalom is the Rabbeinu Shlalom. That is the Marosha Kihilas Yaakov, but it's not a Yerusha Kihilas Yaakov. I'm sorry, I had wanted to speak a little about this, but Chas V'Shalom, not to share the, you know, the Simcha of the Chassan and the Kallah.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the Donate link. Thank you very much.